Before I begin, I want to say that there are some people sitting here today who are very disappointed, and I want to acknowledge that they sat in different seats this week. Some even chose the front row, and there's going to be a special place in heaven for them. Some crossed the aisle today. I don't know if you're sitting with strangers or not, but you know one of the things it says to me? You listen to the sermon. I'm so happy to know that. Now, there's one other thing I want to tell you. Judy made a comment before the service today as we were rehearsing and getting ready, and she was at the keyboard, and she says that when the final hymn comes, she always feels uneasy about playing the first chord loudly because it wakes some people up. And she doesn't like to startle them. So don't go to sleep. And you will not be startled by the final hymn. Deal? Okay. Before the season of Advent got here, I don't know whether you realized it or not, but you and I went on an 8-week cruise. Did you know that? The name of the cruise ship was Fruit of the Spirit. And we visited 8 ports along the way, and we had some wonderful, interesting shore excursions in each of them. The first port was called Love. Ironically, the second port was also called Love. But this was love celebrating. And the guide, when he took us through that port on the excursions, said that you can call that joy if you'd like. Now, the third port was called, guess what? Love. And this was love resting. And our guide said, well, that is love at peace. After we visited love and joy and peace, we went to the fourth port. The fourth port was more challenging than the others because it was called love being tested. And the guide said another name for that is patience. And then we went on to visit love responding, and we learned that it's really called kindness. And in our next stop, we were looking for goodness. And when we finally found it, we found that the correct name for it was love in action. And then faithfulness was next, and we actually discovered that is love on the battlefields of life. Our 8th port was no different. That was the next to the last port, and it was also called love. But this one was love under stress, and it was also known as gentleness. Today, finally, we come to the conclusion of our cruise. And we come to our final port of call. And the brochure says that this one is called Love on Trial. The guide says it's called Self-Control. Now, this final port is probably the easiest of them all. Self-control. I've mastered it. Haven't you? The original Greek word literally means temperance. And Plato said that it means self-mastery. It's the person who has mastered all of the desires of life, and it's the person who has mastered the love of pleasure. That's me. However, the best place to really observe someone who has mastered this is an infant. An infant. When an infant is hungry, the infant never cries. And when an infant is uncomfortable, the infant never makes a scene about anything. And when the infant becomes a child and they hear the word no, they always smile and they comply. They love that word. And when the child becomes a teenager and they begin to drive and they have to wait in line and they have to get behind heavy traffic, they never curse. And best of all, when she is inconvenienced in any way, she doesn't complain to anybody. Yes, she. self-control. It's a piece of cake. Moderation. Restraint. They both come naturally, right? I don't even know why Paul bothered to put it in here, but he did. So I suppose we have to deal with it. Maybe you need to hear it. I don't know. Paul said also in Romans 7, beginning in verse 4, he said, "You also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another." That you might belong to another. To him who was raised from the dead in order that, listen, we might bear fruit to God. There you have it. We died to the law through Christ so that we could bear fruit. Piece of cake. Next verse. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, whoa, stop right there. That's in the past tense. When we were controlled by the sinful nature. I am so glad that's in the past tense, aren't you? But maybe some of you haven't gotten there yet, and maybe you haven't heard that, but I'll keep reading. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that, here it comes, we bore more fruit. We bore fruit even to death. Ooh, that sounds kind of yicky, doesn't it? Verse 6. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. You know, I've heard that some people have a battle in their lives. They're at war within themselves. Really? I've never even been in the military. I certainly have never fought in a war. But some people evidently are fighting the old self and the new self. I read something that R.C. Sproul wrote. R.C. Sproul is a very well-known writer and author and teacher, and most people really admire R.C. Sproul. But you might not like him so much after you hear what I read to you. This is what he said. There is a war in the Christian life between flesh and spirit. We still battle with the flesh. But the battle is not with our physical body. It may include that. But the battle between the flesh and the spirit is the battle between the old man who has fallen and the corrupt and regenerated person who is now living by the Spirit of God. I thought R.C. Sproul was supposed to be pretty bright, but he still thinks people are having some kind of battle going on inside of themselves between old and new. Let me be very clear. This thing called self-control is no problem for me. I live by the Spirit. I started going to church when I was in diapers. My parents used to take me there, and I even sang in the children's choir. And I sang in the junior high choir. And I sang in the high school choir. And I sang in the adult choir. And we wore robes. And robes make you a lot more holy, I discovered. And I attended Sunday school very regularly. And I memorized some Bible verses. And I've learned tons and tons of hymns, too. And I can sing some of them from memory. And I've listened to tons and tons of sermons. And now I'm even adding to the tonnage of sermons. And I've got this fruit of self-control. I've got it figured out. I know how to smile and look peaceful when I come to church. Haven't you? I've learned all about that. Sometimes I even raise my hands in worship. Have you ever noticed that? I raise my hands. And as far as self-control is concerned, I am a huge fruit. Now, some of you may have a problem with it. Aha, you thought you had me fooled, right? And I know about you. You have tried really hard to control yourself. The operative words there are tried and hard. I feel sorry for you. You're having trouble being a good fruit like me. Maybe what you need is to hear this. A few years ago, the Associated Press released a study done by an agricultural school in Iowa. I mean, how much better can it get? Agricultural school in Iowa, no less. Amazing. And here's what they said about producing a good fruit orchard. Have you ever seen a fruit orchard? A good one. Here's what they said about producing a good fruit orchard. On 1 acre of land, in addition to the many hours of labor, it requires 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, and other elements that are too numerous to mention. In addition to all of those things, it is critically important to have rain and sunshine, both at the right times. The bottom line in the report is this: only 5% of what is produced in that orchard is the product of man's effort. Only 5%. So don't worry. Quit trying so hard. You can't really do that much anyway. You can only do 5%. Live by the Spirit like I do. Piece of cake. Now, if you need some help, I have a great plan for you. It's called the Causey Self-Help Course for Self-Control. It starts by asking yourself some questions. Ask yourself this: to what am I addicted? Be honest. Don't cheat. Food? Not me. Lust? Power? Control? The past? Alcohol? Bitterness? Jealousy? Just fill in the blank. When you discover the answers to whatever you have in your life to which you are addicted, it's a lot easier to understand yourself and get a handle on it, so to speak. And you can move on. And then try these questions. To what do you need to say no? To what do you need to say no in your life right now? Let's flip it around. To what do you need to say yes in your life right now? See how easy it is to get a handle on this thing? You don't need to read any books or hear any more sermons. You know the answers. So here's the next step. If you're still challenged with getting yourself under control, then get yourself a Christian buddy, a Christian friend. You know, like a physical trainer. But this is more like a behavioral trainer. Or maybe it would be more like a spiritual trainer. Why? Well, here's something else that I know about you. You behave differently when somebody else is watching. You thought I didn't know that, didn't you? You behave differently when somebody else is watching what you do. Admit it. Isn't it ironic that in order to get yourself under control, you need somebody else to help you look at it? Where are you going to go to find a good Christian buddy? The best place is hopefully right here in the church. Church folks are supposed to help each other. Church folks are supposed to warn each other and pray for each other and encourage one another and teach one another. Oh, you understand. You've got the whole thing. You've probably heard tons of sermons. So find somebody like that. They can be your secret pal. See, ladies, I do pay attention. And that could be a really good thing, unless your pal doesn't know how to keep a secret. Sometimes cows have loose lips. Well, it's not their lips that they can't control per se, it's their tongue. Well, it's not their tongue that they can't control per se, it's gossip. 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 In other words, if you need some help getting yourself under control and you get a secret buddy, you make sure that they know how to control their tongue. Now, let's review this. First, ask yourself, what controls me? And once you know that, dummy, then you're on the path to overcoming it. Also, ask yourself if you should be saying no to something or yes to something. You know what I'm talking about. You've already thought about it. And then find a Christian friend to whom you can confide and to whom you can be accountable. And make sure that they don't have loose lips. And then set some goals together. And pretty soon you'll be more like me, Mr. Self-Control. You will soon discover that you will stop making unimportant things seem important all the time. You will soon stop allowing the enjoyable things of life to become addictive. You will stop acting in haste. You'll quit jumping the gun, as they say. And you'll stop procrastinating and failing to take into account what God's word says to you and what God's voice says to you. Oh, all that should be a huge help unless you are drawn to a different lover other than to him. You know, life can be like a noisy restaurant. Out of control. There's so much noise, you can't even hear what the person is saying on the other side of the table from you. Be careful. Your life can get out of control, and it can be very much like a noisy restaurant. You may be able to hear God's voice across the table, but you just can't understand what he's saying. You know they make hearing aids with little buttons on them? And you can push those buttons so that it blocks out some of the noise and you're able to focus on the thing that you want to hear. Did you know they had those? Well, God had little buttons available for us long before hearing aids. It's called His Word and prayer. You need to hear God's voice, you need His Word. You need to hear God's voice, you need to talk to Him. And listen to him. When you're working on this thing called self-control, you will hear his voice, I promise you. But it's going to be hard, very hard to understand what he is saying unless you push those buttons. Word and prayer. Did you notice that my self-help program has evolved to a different level? It's now called God's Help for Self-Control. Trust me, you're going to like that better than my plan. But why does life have to have so many buts in it? But it's going to take some discipline on your part. You may have to employ my least favorite word. Exercise. Now, in my perfectionism as a self-control expert, this is one area where I need some self-control. The writer in the book of Hebrews said in chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us, here it comes, run! Run! Yuck! Run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Heavens, I can't even make myself walk sometimes, much less run. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I know that you had me on a pedestal, but that's all right. And as if that were not enough, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize, he says. Okay, that's very good motivation. I like prizes. Paul goes on. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Dumb. They do not get a crown that they do get a crown that will not last. Dumb. But we do get a crown that will last forever. Smart. Okay, I need to do some shopping. Let's see, I need some good running shoes. I need some jogging pants. I need some iPhone apps that measure my steps so that I know how much I've moved. And oh yes, I need some good weather. I hate to get too hot. I mean, I hate to get too cold for that matter, but I especially hate to sweat. So I will exercise when it's convenient. And by the way, that is one of my spiritual gifts, the gift of convenience. Well, brothers and sisters, our cruise has finally come to an end. As a reminder, we left from the port of love, and we are returning to the port of love. Everyone is now asked to prepare yourself for disembarkation by placing your baggage outside the door before bedtime, and when you awaken, you will be in love. I like that. You will then return to your home called Covenant Fellowship. And your extended family at Covenant will meet you there, and they will be eager to hear all about your cruise and all of the delicious fruit that you gathered along the way on your cruise. And they will be hoping that you had a great time, but they will be hoping even more that you will share some of that good fruit with them for a long, long time to come. And you know what? With God's help, I pray that will be the case. But it will only be by God's help. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, during this journey, we have learned a lot about you, and we have learned a lot about ourselves. Lord, we are dumb. You are smart. I pray that you will help us to gather the fruit that you have placed at our disposal and ripened it, and that we will be good Christians for Jesus Christ, bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, breathe on us again and help us all the more, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. It's a prayer. Let us stand and sing it.